All right, if you'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I think I'd like to update that answer. How about if I just said it this way? If you are very concerned about having your prayers answered, walk right with God. How's that? So Deuteronomy chapter number 6, if you will. And I'd like to begin reading verse number 1, please. Verse number 1. We are going to read the whole chapter. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him at Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. And God, we are thankful for the covenant that you made with your people. We're thankful for the tenets of it. We're thankful for the truths that it teaches. And I pray that tonight as we study, that you might help us as we are looking at the culture of Christ to understand these basic truths that even hold true today. And we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. You all may be seated. Now, we know that the culture of Christ is derived from the Word of God, from where we're studying, as a matter of fact. It includes our beliefs, our social norms, how we live in light of truth. And our culture has become based upon not only these teachings, but the teachings of Jesus Christ himself as they have added to it. So if we are going to live in God's culture, as we're calling the culture of Christ, we have to learn what it is, what it looks like, and what it requires. So the question is, what does life look like under God's culture? I mean, what has to leave our lives? What has to come into our lives? And today we go to God's people as he was forming them into the nation that they would become and the aspects of the culture that he taught them. And at first the Jews did a pretty good job of assimilating these truths that God had given to them and applying them into their lives, and they really grew into a culture that is all their own, and parts of it even remains to this day. The pinnacle of the Jewish culture, we could say, was in the days of David and Solomon. The people were closest to God. The people lived in a way far above what they lived in any other time. And so for 73 years, they really did have a great culture within their nation. Now, godly leadership makes a difference, doesn't it? It really made a difference. And I want you to remember this. David came from the sheep coat. He didn't have the silver spoon pedigree that many of our politicians of today had. He came from the hard proving grounds of life with God. That's a good thing. So one of the best examples of what that culture would become and how God instilled it into them begins here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. The fundamentals haven't changed. Not at all. I know we're not obligated to fulfill or to follow the law, but what Jesus requires of us sometimes is a much higher degree than what the law required. So we will study this and begin. And in verse number 1, he says, "These are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you." So they had a set of regulations that they were to follow. Commandments, statutes, judgments. We understand those words, right? Commandments are what God had told them verbally. The statutes are the things which are written down. The judgments are to know to do right versus wrong. And God had revealed to them how he wanted them to live. And he even had Moses write it down for them so they could remember. So we take what God has written. We learn from that. Then we apply it to our lives. What I can tell you is this. This book has a set of expectations. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 17 is one of those, John. That was between God and one individual. I have an expectation. You're going to preach to them no matter what. Well, God also has a set of expectations for you and I on how we are going to live. And notice he uses this phrase at the end of verse number 1. He says, that you might do them. Part of the expectation is, I've told you, now go do that. We are expected to live according to God's ways. And you can't live the culture of Christ if you don't do it. You got to apply it. Now, look at this culture as we begin to look at individual aspects as we're talking about this. Verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. It was a culture of reverence, a culture of respect. We know that that fear of God has to do with that reverence, that respect, that right honor of God. And Moses writes this and he says, this is what will motivate you to follow my ways, to have that respect. And we need that even today, even though it's not quite the same as under the law. But you know what? When you have the right fear of God, it makes it a lot easier to follow him. In verses 3 through 6, we see that this culture was a culture of devotion. Now, how many of y'all know that there are Orthodox Jews and non-Orthodox Jews, right? Orthodox are still trying to live the old ways as best as they can, and the non-Orthodox, they're not trying to do much, okay? But the Orthodox will recite Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, every single day. They call it the Shema. And the word Shema means to hear. And if you notice, he says, hear therefore, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. And it's God saying, these are the things that you need to hear. Now, we have a similar thought when we get into James chapter 1, in verse number 22, when James writes to us and he says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So our culture is a little bit different in that we don't just hear, we hear and then we go do. So we take what we have heard, learn. But for them, for us, it's really the same culture. One God whom we love. Correct? Then or now. Then that part of it really hasn't changed at all. And God gave them a promise in verse number 3. He says, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily. How many of y'all would like to increase mightily? Or to be a mighty man or a mighty woman of God? He's saying, be devoted. Listen to my word. Do what it says. That's how we become these mighty men and women of God. We take God's culture and we make it a matter of our heart. Because that's what verse number 5 tells us to do. To love God with every bit of our heart and our soul and with everything that we have. And we can choose to love God. Amen? I know guys can do this. They'll start dating a lady, their wife, and she likes something and you don't really care for it, and all of a sudden you like it. And the guys will admit, yeah, I've done that. We can choose what we like, right? Yeah. Now, we get to verses 7, 8, and 9, and we begin to look at their culture and what God had commanded and their statutes, their judgments, and it was a culture of teaching. I love this. It's easier to teach something that you're living and to teach the next generation how to live in the culture of Christ. That's what we need to do. And that's how you teach them to succeed. And we teach them through love. And if you notice, verse 7 tells us when to teach. And he says, well, teach them diligently. When you're sitting, when you're walking, when you lie down, when you get up in the morning. And basically he's saying you teach all the time. And it's not a matter of beating somebody over the head with a Bible. It's just, it's something simple like, wow, would you look at this wonderful day God's given us today? We do that a lot on Mondays. We got Monday off and we'll take off and go do something. We may go up to the lair of the bear and go a hike or whatnot. And it's we get to comment about what a wonderful day God has given to us. And we want to do that. So we probably should not become parents if we're not willing to train our children. Right? Now notice what he says in verse number 8. He says, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. So here are frontlets. I don't know if you've ever seen a Jewish person wearing this. So they've got a box and it's got a leather strap on it, and it can either be attached to the arm or it can be put on the head. And on that box, they will write scripture. They'll write the Shema. Some people will write the Ten Commandments. And literally, they would put it before their eyes. That's part of what they did for devotion. Now, for you and I, walking around with a box on our forehead is not always convenient. Amen? But you and I can get up every day and put this book before our eyes and read it and study it, can't we? Yeah. So we have the ability to do the same thing. We just might do it a little bit differently. But the idea is to remind ourselves. Then you get to verse number 9, and I really like this one. It says, write God's commandments, statutes, and judgments upon the posts of your house and upon the gates of your property as you come in. Don't you like that? God's word posted so everybody can see. God's word displayed so that everybody that walks into your house knows the culture of the house. Amen? And yeah, it'll dictate the mood of your home. But how many of y'all have ever had that one cousin that always comes and doesn't care about your home and wants to do things their ways, even though it's not exactly your way? You can say, I don't find it in this list, in the culture of this home. But I'm sure that the culture of the Holiday Inn is different. Amen? Y'all ever seen that a Jew, when they leave the house, will touch their door and then they'll put their hand to their lips? The doorpost is called the Matza, and they have the Word of God written on it. And they'll touch that, and it blesses them. And then they put it to their lips so that they will go out and speak God's word to this world. Don't you love that? Some of their traditions are good. We might think about those every once in a while. Not to obey the law, but just because it's a good idea to be reminded about God's goodness. Amen? So their culture, as we see in verses 1 to 9, has to do with the commandments, the statutes, the judgments. Then you get to verse number 10, and it's a culture where God wants them to remember what he has done for them. Now, our remembrances come through things like the Lord's Supper, through preaching, teaching, things like that. But if you notice, beginning in verse number 10, God reminds them that the land, the cities, and everything that they had been given to them. The Jews lived in a land that God gave them, and there used to be inhabitants in it. Now, God, because it's so relevant, we're going to slow down here. God gave it to them because of the wickedness of the people that had been living there. If you look at chapter number 7, verse number 10, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Now, if you'll turn to chapter number 9, and if you'll look at, that's why I'm in chapter 10. I can't find the verse I want because I'm in the wrong chapter. Chapter 9, and if you'll look at verse number 5, notice what it says here. Not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth Understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. So if you combine that with chapter 7, verse number 10, if the Jews are stiff-necked, what does that make the people that God is driving out? Evil. Wicked. So if you want to know who owns the land, God does. Who did God give the land to? The Jews. All the problems that we're having are because the Jews failed to drive them out. Kind of a unique thing how disobedience from God can get you for a very long time, isn't it? It's just, it's one of those things. So the land was a gift from their creator, and the Jews didn't have to do anything to build it. It was already there. There were houses, there were crops in the field, there was farms that were planted and plowed. And God gives them a warning in verse number 12. He says, beware lest thou forget the Lord. Have you ever noticed that when we get to that place that we think I did it, or we get to that place where we're comfortable, that we tend to sometimes forget God? Yeah. God said, don't forget me. Remember me. And for us, remember that God took us out of the wickedness of this world, out of our own sinful nature, and saved us and has given us a new home, and it's an eternal home in heaven. We don't want to forget what God has done for us. We want to remember those things. So tagging right into that, beginning in verse number 13, he says, also remember there's only one God. Taking on any other culture provokes the jealousy of God. Not a good thing, amen? And how many of y'all ever watch any news besides Fox News? You'll watch ABC, NBC, CBS, BBC. All of them are already beginning to turn on Israel, have you noticed? They're already beginning to say this is Israel's fault. Now, I want you to think about this because they're going to tell you that these people all have a right to their faith. These non-existent faiths. Right? Well, let me explain something to you. You and I have zero rights. They have zero rights. The only rights that we ever get are those rights that are given to us and granted to us by the grace of God. And those rights are based in a relationship with Him. So as you hear all that stuff right now, just remember Deuteronomy chapter 6. They've already provoked God to jealousy because they forgot Him a long, long time ago. And He says, I'm going to deal with that culture. So if we want to have God's rights, we better live according to God's culture. Now, He also reminds them about their past a little bit, verse 16, verse number 17. And He says, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted Him in Massah. You can read about it in Exodus chapter 17 later if you'd like to do so. Now, what's God saying? Well, life is our test. It's not God's test. We're not supposed to be testing God. Correct? If, I mean, God has nothing to prove. And if God had anything to prove, He's already done it on the cross. So it's not for us to be sitting here all the time saying, oh, God, are you there? God, are you there? God, are you there? God's here. Amen? Now, it's okay to say, to ask God to be with you, to ask God to help you, but we shouldn't be testing God and saying, God, are you real? Not once we've been saved. It's more of, God, will you help me through this, and what do I need to do to honor you? Moses said it this way, ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God. Diligently seek to live in the culture that He's given to you. Our duty is not to question it, it's to obey it. You want to know the question that we ought to be asking according to verses 16 and 17? What does God consider diligent? Wouldn't that be a better question? Instead of, God, are you here? God, will you do as I want you to do? How about, God, what do you consider to be diligent so that I might live according to your ways? Then He gives them one more remembrance, verses 18 and 19. He says, remember to do good, to do right. Do right and good at all times. Don't you like that? Out of all the things, do right, do good. In other words, don't follow evil, and do that which is good. And we can choose to live this way and to walk this way. And He again gives us that promise that it may be well with thee in verse number 18. There's always a blessing when we follow the culture that God has given to us. We get to inherit His promises. Now, obedience does not always give us physical results, but it always gives spiritual results. Then He goes back into teaching in chapter verses 20 to 25, and He says, pass it on to your children. How will the next generation know about Jesus Christ unless we're living the culture? How will they get it? Don't they need to see God's word posted? Don't they need to hear about Him from morning to evening and evening to morning, and when they're walking, when they're sitting, when they're having their breakfast, whatever it may be? Something tells me they're not getting this by osmosis, right? They got to be taught. We want to live our lives in such a way as that they do this. Well, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments? Why do you do this, Dad? Why do you do this, Grandpa? Grandma, Mom, why do you do all these things? And what He's saying is live in such a way as so that you can teach. And in verse 21 down through verse number 24, He reminds of what God did to bring them out of Egypt. And we know the story, don't we? We're all well aware of that story. Our story is not the same. Their story is a story of deliverance from Egypt. Our story is a story of deliverance from sin. And we get to tell about how God took on human form and came to this earth, how he lived a sinless life, how he died on the cross in our place. We get to speak about the fact that he's no longer dead, but he is risen, and that he has ascended back to heaven. We get to speak about the fact that if we'll ask him to forgive us of our sins, we will be delivered from our sin. We've got a story to tell as well. We want to teach day by day. He says, verse 25, and it shall be our righteousness. So what is being righteous? Well, living in God's culture, teaching others about God's culture. If we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. That word observe means to keep or to guard. We are to keep the culture of Christ alive. We are to observe it in such a way as that others learn and then imitate. That's what this culture is about. It's a culture of spiritual blessing. How many of y'all learned something from a parent about Christ, or you learned from a grandparent about Christ, or somebody that was older than you, and now as you've grown a little bit older, you've learned more about that, and it's become a true blessing to your life? Yeah. That's what God wants to do, isn't it? That's what we're doing in this culture. And so God has given us a plan for keeping the culture alive. Do y'all remember this verse, 2 Chronicles 7, verse number 14? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It's a pretty simple verse. We remember by whose name we're called, so we call on his name. We humble ourselves. We pray. We seek the face of God. And what does he do? He hears. Because he listens. He forgives. He heals. Now, in their case, he heals the problems of the land. With us, he heals our spirit. He heals our souls. What's our duty? Well, Ephesians 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We start growing in the culture of Christ to the place that we're no longer tossed back and forth and we're no longer deceived by the world. That's the culture we want for our church, isn't it? A culture where there's a bunch of strong Christians and those that are weak are being helped by those that are strong. So that means we keep working towards getting stronger all the time. James had to learn this the hard way. James, the brother of Jesus. Do you remember when Jesus was on earth? James had rejected the culture of Christ. He didn't believe his own brother was God. So Joanna, if they'll forget in the time of the revelation, his own brother didn't believe him at one point. And that's the nature of this world. But after his brother came back to life, it changed James, didn't it? And so James said, you know what? There's going to be some times in our lives when we're not exactly following the way we should. So James wrote in chapter 4, verse number 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Went back to that to and fro and double-mindedness. And he says, look, if your life is not following the culture, turn back. Draw close to God. He'll draw close to you. Ask him to cleanse you from your sin, because he will. He'll purify us. And it is important that we get these thoughts, because just as the culture was in Moses' day, the culture was in Solomon's day, and now the culture is in Christ's day and beyond. Really hadn't changed much, has it? So we learn the requirements of God's culture. We remember how good God has been to us. Then we start passing on what we've lived and what we've learned. That's the culture. And it does change everything about us. Aren't we glad? It sure beats the old ways. God, we are thankful, as we have studied tonight, to be able to learn just a little bit more. And I do pray that you'll help us to take what you began with, to make it part of our lives, then to take the things that you've added and let that become a part of our lives as we grow deeper and deeper into being the people that you've designed for us to be. Thank you for your teachings. Thank you for preserving your word so that we might learn it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, the Lord may be speaking to you about how things are going in your life, and you're looking at your desire to keep God's commandments or to hear from him. Maybe you're thinking about, okay, I've got to get to the place where I remember what God has done for me. Or maybe you're not passing it on like you have been commanded to do so. And during the invitation time, you just want to stop, pray, speak to the Lord. Then do so. Amen. Brother Jack has chosen number 506 for us tonight. If you'd like to stand and sing number 506, wherever he leads, I'll go.